I've looked around. This is the place, you know, where I know God wants me to be. And you're preaching the word of God. And that's exactly what it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. It's talking to the seven churches. And it's saying that each angel of the church is given the message of God. And each angel of the church is in the right hand of God. And one of the men tell me, the word angel, angelos, means messenger, one with a message. Well, who has the message? Who's the angel of the churches in Revelation? Just raise your bat. Yeah, local New Testament senior pastor of the church who's bringing the message from the Word of God. And so that's God's plan, and the man of God needs to have a message from the Word of God laid on his heart by the Spirit of God so that when people come, they'd be blessed. I had a guy that counseled with me this week, and all he did was show me each message and how God dealt with him, and each message and how God dealt with him. Even when he wasn't here, he lives in another state, he was sharing with me how he listened to the messages and how they dealt with him. And I'm saying that you need to, listen, fully participate in your own local church. Find out what that is. The Bible says it's the Holy Ghost that makes that head pastor your overseer. That's what it says in the book of Acts. It's the Holy Ghost that does it. Now, he's not a perfect pastor. You're not going to have a perfect church. You're not perfect. I find that out when I deal with you. And you might find that out when you deal with me. But listen to me. I'm just saying we're being perfected. And God uses that. So get yourself in the local church where God wants you. And under the man of God where God wants you. And fully participate so you can have that blessing in your life. You say, well, how can I fully participate? First of all, you have to be saved. You have to have an ear to hear. You don't have an ear to hear unless you hear that you're a sinner and that you're going to go to hell because your sins are so bad that you have to die and go to hell. And then unless you hear that God loved the world and sent his own son, Jesus, to die in our place and to go into that grave and clean it out so that we can be raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead, and that you look to him in faith and you're saved. And then you have an ear because you're born again and you want to get baptized and you want to be in church. You can't push a rope. Somebody that doesn't have an ear to hear, you can't make them hear. So you need to be in church to fully participate in your church. And so this is the message of the Lord's messenger, I believe, for you tonight. Now, I have 12 points, so we're not going to get through them tonight. I'm only going to preach 6 of them tonight. Amen? And the next 6 will be next week. But I want to say these 6 things tonight. Number 1, first, church is commanded. Church is commanded. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, some people don't gather together. Those are your bad examples. Don't follow them. Follow the good examples. So he says, as the manner, that means the habit of some is. What is assembling? Assembling is the same word for church. Church means assembly, assembling. So God is saying here, not forsaking, listen, the churching of yourselves together. Not forsaking the churching of ourselves. Now, there are people that are Christians, they say, I get close to God in nature. I get close to God, you know, out here when I go fishing, or I get close. Well, you may think you're getting close to God that way, but if you're forsaking and not churching with other believers, you are not getting close to God as you could be and should be. By the way, can I say tonight, this is not a suggestion. It's a command. Now, Pastor, have you ever heard people give you reasons why they don't need to obey that command or why that command doesn't work for them? Yeah, Billy Sunday said, an excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. I've heard every excuse in the book. You know, I see people sometimes, I can't get to church, I don't feel good. I've seen it many times. I can't come out. I don't feel good. I can't make it. And then I see them in Walmart walking around. They're always in Walmart. I go to Walmart a lot, so I catch up with them. And you know what? A lot of times they get convicted. And maybe I'll see them in church the next Sunday or the next week. You know, they're like, Pastor, you saw me in Walmart. And you know what? It's an excuse. It's a command. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And some people say, well, my plan is to miss one or more of these church gatherings, but I'll be there at least one service a week. Well, that may be your plan, but that's not God's plan. Three to thrive, four or more to win the war. I think Dr. Hiles, he was in Jamaica, and he was talking about soul winning and the Great Commission and getting baptized and so forth and joining a church. And one man raised his hand. He said, Brother Hiles, what's your plan about baptism? And Brother Hiles said, well, I'll tell you my plan. My plan is when somebody professes to be saved, I put them in classes and I'll teach them for about a year and I'll check them out to see if they are going to endure, and then I will baptize them. And the guy who had his hand up said, exactly, that's my plan too, Brother Hiles. And you know what Brother Hiles said? He says, that may be my plan and it may be your plan, but it's not God's plan. God's plan is, you know, when they get saved, you bring them out and then they come forward and get baptized. They put on the uniform right after they get saved. And the same thing is true of the local church. It's a command of God. Not that you go once a week, but three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, night church, Wednesday, prayer meeting. That's commanded by the Lord. You say, well, hey, is that scriptural? Is that, you know, night church, Sunday night, is prayer meeting scriptural and so forth? Well, that's my second point. Not only is it commanded, Hebrews 10:25, but secondly, night church is Bible. That's in Acts 20, verses 7 and 8. I want to say something. As I go across the country, many churches only have daytime services. And you know what? I look at the preachers. These preachers are making $100,000 a year. I mean, good night. My regular check is $299 a week and more if we get a bonus. But I'm just saying, $100,000 a year and they have one Sunday service during the day? I mean, that may be a church, but I don't follow its Bible church. That's not what God sets down. You see, you should be in church, your own church, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. You say, well, show that to me from the Bible. I will, but I want to say something to you. Baseball, how many see baseball games, ever see professional baseball games? Okay. Baseball used to just have daytime games, but then they developed, Joe, these great big lights. Hey, I'd like to have more of those kind of lights, amen? They have the lights so much that when you go to a baseball game, it may be 9 o'clock at night or 9:30. It is totally light. It's bright out there, right? It's bright. The lights are shining. And people now go to night ball games as much as they go to daytime ball games. They love to be there for these baseball games at night because they have lights. Well, how about night church? Should we really go to church Sunday night? Well, Acts 20 puts it this way, verses 7 and 8. And upon the first day of the week, this is Acts 20, 7, 8. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, amen, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart in the hour, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Joe, they had many lights. Now that tells us something, amen. We want more lights, more lights, more lights, outside, inside, all around. Hey, I don't want a church to look like a bar, amen. We want lights. And Joe doesn't want to be delighted, you know. And so notice they met on the first day of the week. Well, what's the first day of the week? Do you know what that is? It's Sunday. And that's why we still meet on the first day of the week. That's Bible. You say, why'd they meet on the first day of the week? Well, you know, it was the day Jesus rose from the dead. And remember, when he rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples not only in the morning, but he was back at night. And he went to the upper room. They had night church right when he was first raised from the dead. And the early church did it. And the church, the true church, has had night church Sunday night as well as day church ever since. And notice that that particular Sunday night service went until midnight and that there were many lights. By the way, Bible, Acts 20, is why we still have Sunday night services. You say, what are you doing, Pastor? We're copying the church in the book of Acts. By the way, I'm glad. Now, we got a lot of people gone to Kentucky tonight, so we don't have as many people. But last Sunday night, we had 56 people out for a Sunday night service. Last Wednesday, we had 51 people out for a Wednesday prayer meeting. You say, why do the people come? Because we're having New Testament Christianity. We're having night church and we're having prayer meeting, and they're gathered together and getting blessed. Now, by the way, speaking of prayer meeting, midweek service, prayer service, you can think about this from Acts chapter 12. And in verses 12 through 18 of Acts 12, you have the story of Peter. And he was in jail. And the church had prayer meeting. And they were praying. By the way, we had prayer meeting tonight. Do you know why you have problems in your life, problems in your family, problems in your nation? It's so that you would know you need to be in a midweek service. I tell people in this church, hey, we're going to pray for you. I hope they have enough sense to show up. But many times they say, thank you, Pastor. I'll still pray for them. But they need to have their head examined. Why aren't you here praying and joining in? Because in Acts chapter 12, Peter was in jail and he was a leader and they were doggone sure praying for Peter to get out of jail. By the way, as soon as he got out of jail, you know where he went? To the prayer meeting of the church. And he got there and he showed up. By the way, I have people come here to church. Right now, I have people go right from jail and come to church. In fact, Kyle, he just got out of jail tonight. No, I'm just kidding. But I have people, they get out of jail and they come right to church. And they're doing it right now. In fact, I think of two people right now. They got out of jail and they had enough sense to get to church because, you know, God was working in their hearts. And so I want to say that. And the reason we have a midweek prayer meeting, ours meets on Wednesday, is we're following the example of the Jerusalem Baptist Church that they met on a midweek during the middle of the week for a prayer meeting. And whether the church prayer meeting is Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, that's not the important thing, but they did have a midweek prayer meeting. And that's what you're in tonight. And I hope this stirs you up to pray. I hope you pray more on your own because we pray together. And that you spend more time in prayer than you do watching that square glare. You spend more time in prayer than you do watching the screen or the cell phone and so forth. That is something we get a revival of. You know, the early church was in the upper room agonizing in prayer. The 21st century church is in the supper room organizing how to have fun. I'm saying first church is commanded, Hebrews 10:25. Second, night church is scriptural, Acts 27 and 8, and also Acts chapter 12 through 18. Thirdly, you should be faithful to church because it's important to your Lord. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, Christ didn't just die for you as an individual. He died for his church that will be raptured. A church will not be gathered. A church means a gathered assembly called out of the world. It won't be gathered until Christ calls the whole church together. But Christ also died for the local church to assemble. He died for Scranton Revival Baptist Church. He died for individual churches. That's why it says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He considered us not only individually, but as a church body. We're the body of Christ. Now, listen to me. If Jesus was willing to leave his beautiful home in heaven, like Joe and Cynthia, they left their beautiful home in Greenfield Township. If he was willing to do that and to die on earth for his church and his churches, then shouldn't you be willing to leave your home to be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday? He promises also to be present whenever the church gathers. Do you know that? You read the book of Revelation, chapter 1. What is he doing? He's walking around amongst the candlesticks, which is symbolic of local churches. He's here tonight spiritually. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4 says, "When ye are gathered together," that's church, "with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ." Have you ever come into the Scranton Revival Baptist Church, listen to me tonight, and you sense the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know why that is? This isn't a human organization as much as it is a divine organism. And spiritually, the Lord is here, and he says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." He says in 1 Corinthians 5, 4, "When ye are gathered together with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you realize that in a special way, you are in the presence of the Lord when you come to church? So first, church is commanded, Hebrews 10, 25. Secondly, Sunday night church or Wednesday night church is scriptural, Acts 20, 7 and 8, and Acts 12, 12 through 18. Thirdly, you should be faithful to church because it's important to God, important to the Lord who died that you might be blessed in his church. And fourthly, you should be faithful to church because, well, we already talked about that, that the Lord commands you to be faithful to church. By the way, as I'm thinking about this idea of the Lord commanding it, coming back to that again, number four, I'll read that verse again. Hebrews 10, 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Not forsaking is the same as your command to be faithful, not just to one service, but to all of these services that I'm preaching on. Now, let me give an example of somebody that may just go to Sunday morning church and say, "Hey, I've done God's will. I'm here Sunday morning. I fulfilled my obligation. Now I can just have my fun and do my thing for the rest of the week." No, that ain't how it works. Sorry. But you know who that reminds me of? A person that says that reminds me of when Samuel, the preacher man, he went to Saul. And remember, Samuel had got the word of the Lord and preached it to Saul and said, "Now go attack the Amalekites, the enemies of the Lord, and kill every king, every leader, every person, all the animals. Don't save anything. God wants his judgment to come down on the Amalekites." And remember, Saul was there, and he was standing there, and here comes Samuel, and Saul right away says, "Oh, the man of God, good to see you." He said, "I've done what the Lord told me to do." No, you haven't. You've been forsaking the assembly. Don't tell me, "Well, I'm still worshiping the Lord." He said, "We're here," and Samuel said, "Yeah, but you didn't kill everything." And Saul said, "Yeah, we killed a lot of the animals. We just saved the best to sacrifice to the Lord, to worship the Lord. We're worshiping the Lord just like you. We're faithful." And while he's saying that, there's the ba ba ooh, ooh in the background of these animals. And Samuel said, "If you did what the Lord said, what are the lowing of these oxen and the bleating of these sheep that I'm hearing in my ears?" And he said, "Give me a sword." And he went and killed the king of the Amalekites. And he had the will of God done. And then he told Saul, he said, "Saul, you're going to lose out. You're going to lose your position because of the fact that you've just partially obeyed." Listen, don't be into partial obedience. Go all out for God. Now, it's not the preacher's command or desire. It is God's. And when you forsake any of your regular services in church, you're forsaking the Lord and His assembly. And He is there, but you're not there. Do you know, Sunday morning He's going to be here. Sunday evening He's going to be here. Do you know, tonight He's here. And I know we got 20 people out there, but they're in a local church and He's there tonight. Amen. By the way, when you go on vacation, you should get yourself to a church. You say, but I'm on vacation. But you're not taking a vacation from God. You're supposed to be taking a vacation with God. And when you do that, you see. So I'm saying, first of all, it's commanded that you fully participate in your own church. Secondly, night church is scriptural. Wednesday night, prayer meeting, and Sunday night, scriptural. Thirdly, you should be faithful to church because it's important to God. Fourthly, you should be faithful to church because the Lord commands it. Now, mistakenly, I put 2 points down, first and the fourth. So I think the commands it is really being emphasized tonight. But fifthly, you should be faithful to church because it's where you receive encouragement. How many of you need encouragement spiritually? Yeah. God has ordained that you have to be in church to get the kind of encouragement that you need to really overcome the world and live for God. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly, but exhorting one another. When you're in church, you exhort one another. Every one of you that are here tonight, when you're in church, you get exhorted and you help exhort one another. Now you say, what does exhort mean, Pastor? I looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. It means to excite or to give strength, spirit, or courage. It means, you see, it means to incite by words or advice, to animate or urge by arguments, to give a good deed to any laudable conduct or course of action. In other words, when you're in church, God stirs you up to do things. Now you go to a rally, a political rally, you get stirred up for politics, amen. You go to a ball game, you get stirred up to root for the home team, right? You get cheered up. But you go to church and you get exhorted and encouraged and given strength, you see, to do what God wants you to do. And I ask you, what's the most important of those three? Of course, it's what God wants you to do. And so, when you go to church, you get this encouragement, and you get it, number one, from preaching in the church service. You get it, though, number two, from your fellow believers as they gather with you and the Lord. And you get it from the Lord Himself, who shows up in your midst. So, I want to be there. Now, let me say, that's why you need to be faithful to attend, because if you are AWOL from your own church services, you are drawing others to do the same. You say, well, I just quietly am AWOL. I don't tell anybody else. Yeah, but you have an empty spot and it's seen. You need to be faithful. But being there help encourage others to do the same. By the way, look at Hebrews 10:25. We did look at that, but look at verse 24. Can you look at verse 24 of chapter 10 of Hebrews? I'll read it. I didn't put this in here for Bobby, but verse 24 says, And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What does it mean to be considerate of others? That means be in church. You know, I was out tonight in Walmart. I gave the gospel to a guy, Brother Tom, like you do. I was giving him the gospel, exhorting him to trust Christ. And then I went over to the vitamins, and guess who I ran into? Brett over here and Star. And Star said, you know what? We've just been talking about coming to church. We've just been talking about coming to church. Your church. And I said, well, this is of God that I'm seeing you tonight. This is of God, because I've been praying people come. Of course, I always am. I'm always thinking about that. And then Kyle had called me earlier in the day, and Kyle said, Pastor, I'm coming Wednesday night. So later on, when I met Star and Brett, I called Kyle. I said, Kyle, guess what? Remember Star? Oh, of course. Kyle used to work in bus ministry on Matt's route up in Forest City, right? That's where he met Star and her family. She was just a little girl, right? Now she's in her 20s, I bet. Yeah, she is. And I'm just saying that that's part of it. Being in church, not just to hear the preaching, not just to be touched by the Lord, but to see others that are being gathered. It's divine. God is putting us together. Just like I talk about Israel, I say Israel is being gathered back to their land. Even though they're in unbelief, they're still being gathered in preparation for what God is doing. We need to see the hand of God and to be there and to realize you're important. And you know who's a really good example of this? The skis. I like skis. The jet skis. And Zukowski's. They're two good examples of this. You know, Mrs. Bajeski is out in Kentucky now with her kids. All of her kids are out there tonight. And also the other skis, the Zukowski's. They're out there with all their kids. You know, these guys are like church mice. They're in church all the time. You ever notice that? But check it out. God's blessing those families. And He's blessing those marriages. You see, the Bible says, you are our epistles, known and read of all men. And so when you participate like the Bajeskis and the Zukowskis, you stir others up to do that. So what have I said so many times? There's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. And if you find one, don't join it. You're going to spoil it. I say that all the time. But you know what? I also say to you tonight, when you find your church and your pastor, bury yourself in there. Until God blasts you out, because the devil will figure out a number of reasons to get you to look elsewhere. And I tell people when they look elsewhere, go right ahead. I commend you to God, His grace, go out there. And many times they come back to me and say, Pastor, there's nothing better out there. Not for me. Not for me. And I'm just saying that bury yourself here in the local church until God blasts you out. And you know who's a great example of that? You can just look at a person, Deacon Joe Slobodnik and his family. He passed some tests. I remember 1984, he had a bunch of people that were his close friends that wanted to get him out of here. And Joe said, I'm not going. I'm staying. Then in 1996, he had a bunch of his friends, and they tried to get him out of here. Get him away from the man of God. Get him away from the church. Joe said, sayonara. I'm staying. And then in 2017, when the devil tried to blast the pastor out of here, Deacon Joe said, I'm going to step in and fill in for the pastor while he's away. And he did it for 9 months. You see, he buries himself in the local church until God blasts him out. I remember Rolaine Wolf. Remember her, Joe? Rolaine Wolf? She was about 26 years or so as my secretary. I can't remember now. My mind is a blender. But anyway, she was my secretary, and Rolaine Wolf took this ministry from a shoebox when she lived in Bangor Heights to now this building. And she was here for all those years as my secretary, and I rely heavily on a secretary, as you know. Behind every man's a woman, whether it's his wife at home or at church. You need a woman to help. And Rolaine Wolf was that woman, and she took us from a shoebox to this ministry here, did so much work in the Lord. And finally, she got cancer so bad, cancer, she couldn't do it anymore. She just couldn't get up for the bell. You know that, Sarge. And Sarge would call me and say, Pastor, I think Mom needs to get out to church more. But that may have been true. What Sarge said may have been true, but she was passing the baton on to another lady. That lady was 17 years of age. Now, Rolaine wanted to pass it to an older lady in the church. She told me who that lady was, not anybody here now. And I said, no, I don't believe that's the lady. I think this girl, Alicia Zukowski, this teenage girl, 17, I think you need to pass it to her. And she passed her baton and helped her and trained her in everything that she does to be pastor's secretary administrative assistant. And she trained her, and then Rolaine couldn't answer the bell anymore. She was still around, but that was about 2010 that started happening. I may have the dates not perfect, but I think pretty good, Sarge. And then in 2015, December, she passed into heaven. And I was able to see her in the hospital and pray for her, but she passed out of here. Now, Rolaine's in a much better place, right? Amen. But I'm just saying to you that she was faithful. And so why do you need to fully participate in your local church? Number one, the Lord commands it. Hebrews 10:25. Second, night church is scriptural. Acts 27:8 and Acts 12. And then thirdly, you should be faithful to church because it's important to the Lord. Ephesians 5:25. And then you should be faithful to church because, again, the Lord commands it. Hebrews 10:25. And fifthly, you should be faithful to church because it's where you receive encouragement. Hebrews 10:24 and 25. And here's the last one. I'll give it to you now. Sixthly, your being faithful at church allows you to grow in the experiential knowledge of God's Word. You know, I see people that don't get into church and they do not grow in the experiential knowledge of the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3. You know, our first pastor used to say, hey, when we go to church, we're not just rallying around a common cause. Hey, vote for Trump. Vote. No, we're not doing that. That's not our main reason for being in church. Our main reason to church, Pastor Ware said, is not just rallying around a common cause, but is what? Growing up into a person in every day of your life, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, getting to know Christ, getting to do what He would have you to do. And it says of the pastor tonight in Acts 20:28, to feed the church of God. Before I came here tonight, my wife fed me lunch. I thank God for that. Before I came here tonight, my wife fed me supper. She gave me a big baked piece of salmon, Brother Joe. She gave me corn on the cob. She gave me some other vegetable. Tomato sandwich on Esselton bread. But she gave me all that good stuff today. And I'm well fed. Otherwise, I might be like this tonight. But you know what I do all the time? I am a cook, Brother Joe. I am a chef, but I'm preparing spiritual meals. God knows I'm not a good cook physically, not a good carpenter. But one thing I do, I don't know how well I do it, but I cook and serve, Sarge. You serve meals. This is my thing. And just like you want people there to eat, Sarge, I want people there to eat and to feast. And I want to do what the Lord said to Peter. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. Feed the little ones. Feed the middle growing ones. Feed the older ones. Feed my sheep. Why? And you're going to get that if you fully participate in church Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening, and Wednesday prayer meeting. You're going to get fed and you're going to get strengthened in the Lord. And sometimes people say, well, I'm just going to miss this service or that service. It may be that you're going to miss the one service that God has planned, listen to me, to change your life. We had a deacon. He prayed for this building. You remember that, Joe. He prayed, and every morning he'd get up like 5 a.m. and pray for this building. He stirred me up to pray for this building. We didn't even have our own church building. We were meeting in a building in Westside. We could only use it in the afternoon. When we tried to baptize people, the deacons yelled at us and tried to tell us we can't do that. We prayed for about a year, and God gave us this building. But that deacon left before this building was given to us. See, he missed out. Think of even Roberts, the Welshman. He prayed for a Revival Seeker prayer meeting. I think it was every Wednesday he went to Revival Seekers prayer meeting in Wales. And his friends would say, Ethan, come with us. We're going fishing. No, I have to go to prayer meeting. We're praying for revival. Oh, you could miss this once. You watch the devil. If he gets you to miss once, he'll do it twice, three, four. Pretty soon you'll be gone. And only the grace of God will bring you back. Don't let the devil get you. Even didn't let the devil get him. And one day an evangelist came by the name of Seth Joshua, and he prayed, Lord, bend us, bend us. And the mighty power of God fell upon Eben and upon the church. And that began the great Welsh revival that went all across Europe and all across the world and the United States. What a difference it made. I'm just saying, don't miss out. You know, Boaz is a type of Christ. He was a wealthy man, and Boaz saw a young lady, a widow lady named Ruth. And he saw her gleaning in his fields. And he said to the reapers that reaped his harvest, he said, leave handfuls of grain on purpose so that the Moabitess Ruth, who's a believer in Jehovah God, that she can get handfuls on purpose. And they left them for her. Do you know the Lord gives you something in church on Sunday morning on purpose? On Sunday evening on purpose? Wednesday night on purpose? I don't know when God's going to give you something that's going to change your life. That's why I seek to be faithful to prepare a meal every service for you. And I'm not going to miss out, like Brother Hiles said. The one time he brought his dad to church hoping he'd get saved, the pastor said, I'm not going to preach tonight. We're going to have a cantata instead. And Brother Hiles thought, oh, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, I wish the pastor would have preached. We're not going to put cantatas in place of preaching here. We're not going to put movies in place of preaching here. I'm just saying, you're being faithful to church, if you're in the right church, allows you to grow in the experiential knowledge of the Lord. I like what Pastor Ware used to say. He used to say, Bloom, what we're seeking here are ministering mature saints. You know what a ministering mature saint is? It's somebody that's taking in the Word of God by reading it, by meditating on it, studying it, by coming to church, hearing it, and then practicing it and serving according to what God gives you to do to help build up the church. Ministering mature saints. You know what? Can you see Brother Joe missing church? I don't see it. Do you see him missing out on soul winning? Sunday morning? Sunday evening? Wednesday? That's why I say, you ever heard of WWJD, what would Jesus do? I say WWJD, what would Joe do? You know, you say, is that biblical? Well, the Bible says, follow me as what? I follow Christ. The problem is we got too few saints that are really following Christ. You say, how do I know I'm following Christ? You're following the Word of God. There's a lot of charlatans out there that are trying to deceive people with every wind of doctrine. That's why you need convictions in the Bible, in every word Bible. I don't want some guy giving me his opinion from his version. I want the Bible. Every word. And so tonight, I'm just saying, the Bible, if you get to a Bible-believing church, you're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. And you're going to get to know Him and be more like Him. And so you're going to think like Him, act like Him, talk like Him, you know. And so tonight, we said why you need to fully participate. First, it's commanded. Second, night church is scriptural. Third, you should be faithful to church because it's important to the Lord who purchased it. Fourth, you should be faithful to church again because the Lord commands it. Fifth, you should be faithful to church because it's where you're going to receive the kind of encouragement you need to overcome the world and be strong. And lastly, sixthly, your being faithful to church allows you to grow in experiential knowledge of the Lord. Now, next week, we're going to finish this up with six more things, but I hope you got something that will help you not to be pulled away from participating fully in what the Lord has for you. All right, let's bow for prayer. Tonight, we've heard what the Word of God teaches. Now, God wants you to act on it. There may be something in your life that God's speaking to you about. Maybe you've been too much of a butterfly, flitting around to this bush and flitting around to that flower. And God says, no, I want you to bury yourself in a local church. You're not going to find a perfect one. But I want you to bury yourself in. I want you to fully participate because I commanded it. It's important to God. It's scriptural. Night church is scriptural. Midweek is scriptural. Perhaps you're just going once a week, and God says fully involved. Perhaps you're taken in, but you're not participating in giving out and doing your part. I don't know what it is tonight that you need, but if God's been speaking to your heart, I wonder if you'll say, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening tonight. I want to do your will. I'd like to pray for you tonight." If that's something that God has spoken to you about, whatever it is, you say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart. I intend to put it into practice, but pray for me." Would you raise your right hand tonight? Just hold it up. I'll see it. I'll pray for you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for responding. God's spoken to your heart. Amen. Whatever it is, if you need to be saved, trust Jesus. If you need to get baptized, come forward and we'll talk to you about getting baptized. If you need to join the church, likewise, and so forth and so on. Whatever it is, may you put feet to your faith. I'm going to ask that we stand, and I'm going to